If you're there in Matthew chapter number 8, we're going to read verses 7 through 10 just as a launching, but we will use most of Matthew chapter 8 in our message this tonight. And just want to be a help to you, be an encouragement to you tonight is my desire, just really be an encouragement to you. So I pray that'll be what it is. But Matthew chapter number 8, starting in verse number 7, it says, "And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. And a centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." Title of the message is God, the final authority. God, the final authority in everything in life. God is our final authority. It doesn't matter if it's government or if it's law enforcement, if it's a family member, a parent. It doesn't matter. Whoever your authority is, God is the final authority. And so hopefully tonight going to be an encouragement with you. We could go a couple different routes with this thought, but I'm going to hopefully be more of an encouragement tonight than anything. But let's pray and ask God to bless the message. Heavenly Father, please, Lord, work in a mighty way tonight. Lord, please help me to convey this thought and this truth in the same way that you showed it to me about a month or two back, Lord. It was so exciting. It was motivating. It was encouraging to remind you that I serve the final authority. It doesn't matter what our government says. It doesn't matter what the world says. It doesn't matter what other authorities in our life may say. Ultimately, you are the authority, and what you say goes, and it doesn't change, it doesn't move. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Lord, I please, please, please help me not to do an injustice to your word, God. I want to preach your word with your help, with the Spirit of God just working through me and using me. Empty me of Brady Whitehouse. No one wants anything from me, but Lord, they want something from you. So please, Heavenly Father, meet with us tonight. Speak through me. Use me. Help me in this message, Lord, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So in this life, there's always authorities. We've always got authorities that are over us in this life. Whether, like I said, whether it's the government possibly, or maybe it's a law enforcement, if you're going over the speed limit and they pull you over, or you're doing something else crazy and they pull you over maybe. Maybe it's a parent. Maybe it's a boss. Maybe it's some other authority. We could name off lots of different ones, but in this life, we've always got authorities. You're never not in authority. As my dad always said many times, even when you're the boss of a company, you still have you still have an authority. You always have a boss. If you're a boss of a company, the customer is your boss. What the customer wants, that is what you've got to provide. No matter what, no matter what our position, no matter what our ranking in life or society, we have always got some kind of an authority, some kind of a boss, someone who's in charge of us, that's over us, and God is that final authority. But all authorities is from God. God told us, and Jesus told Pilate, he said, you would have no authority except it was given to you by my heavenly Father. In Romans, it tells us that all authorities are set up and designed and put in that position because of God's design, and God has a master plan for that to be the case. And no one is in a position of authority except that God willed it and God desired for that person to be there, and they would have no authority except for God's help. But ultimately, God is that final authority. God is the one that's in control of everything. And so I just want to convey that to us tonight. Hopefully, like I said, to be an encouragement. We could go a couple different routes with that and come up with a couple different things. But tonight, I just want to be an encouragement to you about how God is the final authority. I want that to be an encouraging thought to you. I want that to be something that when you're going through troubles, you're going through trials and difficulties, you can say, you know what? I know God is in control because He's the final authority. He's the one that's in charge. He's the one that's got the plan. He's the one that knows what's going on. Like I said, when our car got totaled out, the only vehicle we've got is a truck that has just the front seat. It doesn't even have enough seats, even if we could put the kids up there in front, but you can't because they're in car seats, so it's not legal to put them up there. So we've got one vehicle. We're wondering, God, what is your plans? What are you thinking, God? What is going on? What is the purpose of this? Why is this happening? And we're thinking we're not going to get very much out of the car, and we're not going to have hardly anything to go put on another car. If we're going to buy some, we're going to have to buy some old junker vehicle to make it. And we're just kind of worrying about everything. And I finally just made the decision to say, you know what? God, I know you've got a purpose. I know you've got a plan. You've never done me wrong, God. You've always taken care of me. And God, you help me to trust you. You help me just to trust that you've got a plan. You've got a purpose. And even though at the time it seemed like it didn't make any sense, it didn't seem like it was going the way it should go. And God, why is this happening? God said, you know what? I know you think you're going to get this much out of it, but I'm going to give you this much. and then I'm going to lead you to the place to find just the perfect vehicle to be exactly what you're wanting. It's got 8 seats in it. It's got a DVD system in it, tinted windows, not a whole lot of miles on it. Just really a great vehicle, exactly what we was wanting. It had everything I think that Emily was wanting in a vehicle that we could possibly want, except for I think maybe navigation or something like that. I think there was one other thing that I think she wanted, but it wasn't a big deal. But it was just exactly what we wanted, what we were needing, and what God provided for us. Why? Because He's the final authority. He says, I know that you think you've got this all figured out, and you think you've got a plan, and you think you're in control of it, but let me just remind you that I am the authority. That I'm the one that's got a plan, and no matter what your timing is and what you think you've got figured out, I've got my own timing, and it's going to be perfect, and it's going to work out just the way it needs to, and you just trust me. And God is the final authority. No matter what it is, no matter what area of life, God is the final authority. So let's jump into this morning. And number one, that is that God is the final authority over sickness or over any physical problems we go through. God is the final authority in it. You're there in Matthew chapter 8. Jump back to verse number 1. We're going to look at a few different verses where God just proves Himself being in charge over physical needs. Matthew 8 verse 1 says, "When He was come down from His mount, great multitudes followed Him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped Him, saying, Lord, if Thou wilt, Thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth His hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed." Now jump down to verse number 6. It says, "And saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented." This is the passage we just read. "And Jesus saying to him, I will come and heal him." So Jesus already knows He's going to do it. Jump down to verse 13 through 14 and 15 here. And this is where it shows that he gets healed. "And Jesus said unto the centurion, Go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto him." God, here's Jesus. It's no big problem. It's no worry. It's no fret. It's not difficult. He doesn't have to struggle about it. It doesn't take hours of labor and surgery and medications. No, Jesus just touches the leper and he's healed. The man who was sick of the palsy, he just says, "Hey, it's done. Because you believed, your servant is healed." And the Bible says that selfsame hour, the man was healed. Here's Peter's mother-in-law, and she's got a fever, and she's not doing well. She's at the house, and Jesus just comes in and says, "All right, be healed." And she's healed. No problem at all, because God is the final authority of all physical needs. It doesn't matter what the physical need is. It doesn't matter if it's sickness and health. It doesn't matter if it's an enemy that's attacking you and fighting against you and you're struggling with. It doesn't matter if it's a physical boss you feel like is your enemy that's there, that's down your throat. And I've had some of those type of bosses where, man, they micromanage the fire out of you, and every single day you got to relearn your job because the way you're supposed to do it yesterday isn't the right way to do it today, and then tomorrow is totally different, and every day you just feel like you're the new guy in the job because they want it done some other way. And it doesn't matter if it's a boss. It doesn't matter if it's a neighbor. It doesn't matter if it's a spouse. Sometimes we fight and argue there. It doesn't matter if it's children. It doesn't matter what physical struggle or challenge we may be going through. God is the final authority. God is in charge of it. God's got a plan. He's got a purpose. We just need to trust Him and say, "All right, God, I don't know what's going on. I don't know why this is happening. I don't know why I'm dealing with this or what the situation is. I don't know why I've got this sickness or why my family member's got this sickness or why my family member passed away or whatever it may be. I don't know why, God, but You're the final authority. You've got it planned out. You've got a purpose. You've got a reason behind it. And God, I don't know what it is exactly, but Lord, You've got a purpose for it." An illustration of that is, and I didn't think about this honestly until just now. God just showed this to me. But me and my wife went back in June, right? For Brandon's wedding, it was in June. Is that right, June? No, May. It was in May. That's right, it was May. So it was May. We went back for my sister. She got married back in May. And I was able to perform her wedding. Had a great time. It was wonderful. 16 hours up there, 16 hours back. Our kids did the best they possibly could do, being 2 and not even 1. And, you know, it can be stressful riding with kids, especially that long, definitely a long ride. We get back on a Tuesday, we got back. That next day, I find out that my grandpa, my dad's stepdad, was in the hospital not doing well. It had a stroke, just physically not doing well. The doctors really didn't think he was going to make it out of it. Friday night, just not doing any better. Saturday morning, he passes away. So guess what I get to do? I get to turn around and drive back up there to go for the funeral. And I wanted to be there for that. And I didn't want to take my wife and the kids. I want to put the kids back in the car. And so I took off back up there. We're wondering, why is this happening? You know, why couldn't this have, you know, happened at least a few months later, or at least while we were here or something? No, but now I drove all the way up there and drove back, and I got to drive back up there and come back to New Mexico. And, you know, why is this going on? Well, we've been praying for a few years that my cousin Christian will be able to move in with us and be able to come down and live with us for a while, and just be able to be in a good church and be able to grow. And it's just amazing to watch him here. He's been out soul winning ever since we've been here. Just every night he gets a chance to go soul winning. Played a big part in our vacation Bible school this last week. And he would not have been able to probably come down here, probably wouldn't be here with us if my grandpa hadn't passed away and I hadn't went back to Missouri. And when I went back, that's when he was able to meet up and get with me, and he's able to ride back from Missouri back to here with us and able to be here with us. At the time, I'm wondering why. Why would this happen? Why I can't afford to make this trip. I don't got the money to make this trip. Why would this happen? Once again, God is the final authority. He's got a reason. He's got a plan. He's got a purpose. And it was one of those bittersweet things. You know, I honestly wasn't all that upset that my grandpa passed away, not because I wouldn't miss him, but because I knew over the last 5 years since my grandma had passed away, he's just been ready to go. He's been ready to go on to heaven. He's been ready to get back to see my grandma again. He's been just ready to move on. When we seen him back at Thanksgiving, I had mentioned something to him about the fact he's going to be back in May for Brianna's wedding. And he said, well, I guess I'll try to hang on till then. You know, you could just tell he was ready to go. So when he passed away, it didn't break my heart. I didn't necessarily cry a lot for him because I just knew he was where he wanted to be. And so I was almost more excited for him than I was sad. You know, I was sad that we lost him, but I was excited that he was in heaven. He was with my grandma again, got to see her, and just where he wanted to be. But just wondering at the time, though, why, God? Why? I was just here less than a week ago. Why do I got to turn around and drive back there? And drive back there by myself. But God had a reason. He had a plan. He's the final authority. No matter what physical thing that we are struggling with, whether it's a health need, whether, like I said, it's another person maybe that we just seem like we're battling with and just seems like they're after us and they're trying to get us and Satan is using them to fight against us, God's the final authority. Just trust Him. Just rely on Him. Look at Job and his life and got the boils on his body and he's scraping himself with a pot shard and sitting in the ashes, just such misery and pain and physical needs. And then his own wife says, have you kept your integrity? Curse God and just die. But he just said, no, I'm not going to do that. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. God is the final authority over all physical needs. We just need to trust Him. We just need to rely on Him. I'm going to give you the second point. That is, God is over and in control of over the winds and the waters, or He's in control over the weather or the things that are more out of our control, if we could put it that way. Look at Matthew chapter 8, verses 22 through 27. He says, but Jesus said unto him, follow me and let the dead bury their dead. And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? God is in control of the weather or the things that are just completely out of our control, whether it's the wind, the rain, the snow, sleet, hail, tornadoes, hurricanes, earthquakes, volcanoes, clouds, the sun. God's in control of all of them. We just need to trust Him. All right, God, you're in charge of it. And this is maybe as big of a deal to us as it would have been maybe 100 years ago when you're growing your crops and you needed the sun the right amount and the rain the right amount. It was a big deal then to definitely be trusting God for these things. But even now, we can still trust God. And really, New Mexico is a pretty amazing state. We really don't have a lot of natural disasters. You live in Oklahoma, you got tornadoes like crazy. And you live on the southern part of America, and you got to worry about hurricanes and earthquakes and other parts and stuff like that. But God's in control. Revelation tells us that in the end times, there'll be earthquakes in diverse places. And just the other day, and I don't remember where it was at, there was somewhere that I heard of an earthquake that had happened that was like hardly ever has earthquakes. And it was just unheard of hardly for them to have an earthquake. And they'd had one not that long ago. Why? Because God's in control. In the places that we wouldn't think something would happen, something can happen because God's in control. He's in charge. He's the final authority of the weather and anything else that we're just, it's just out of our control. God's in control of it. He's the final authority over it. No matter what it is that's out of our control, God's in control of it. It's just amazing how God is so much in control. But let me give you the third one. And that is that he's in control over devils or all spiritual things. Look at Matthew there, 8 and verse number 16. And then we'll jump down to verses 28 and 32. Matthew 8, 16 says that when even was come, they brought in him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick. So he's just with his words casting out devils. Now jump over to verses 28 through 32. We probably know this passage pretty well. And when he was come to the other side into the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils coming out of the tombs exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, "What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time?" They already recognized that here's God. He's the authority. He's in control. They already recognized. They already knew the ending. They said, "Have you come already to torment us?" Speaking of God casting them into the lake of fire. "Have you already come to do it? It's not our time. It's not the time of that to happen. It's not here yet. Have you come to already do that?" Verse 29 says, verse 30. And there was a good way off from them a herd of many swine feeding. So the devils besought him, saying, "If thou cast us out, suffer us to go away to the herd of swine." And he said to them, "Go." And when they were come out, they went into the herd of swine, and behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down a steep place into the sea and perished in the waters. God, man, he's in control of these devils. It says that these two guys were so fierce that no man could pass by there. They were in charge of that area, man. Nobody messed with these guys, okay? Everybody knew that was from there. Man, you don't go over there. There's a couple of lunatics. There's a couple of crazy guys over there. We don't go over in that area. And Jesus walks over there, and instead of Jesus being afraid of them, they are afraid of Jesus. They come running out, and they start beseeching God, "Are you already here to torment us? Are you already here to cast us into hell? Are you already here to, it's before our time. It's not supposed to be yet." Because they recognized, here's the final authority. He's got the say. He's the one that decides when we get cast into hell. He's the one that decides when the end of our time of reigning here on the earth comes. He's the one that's in charge. God is in charge of all spiritual things. It doesn't matter what it might be. Even Satan has to get permission from. We see that looking at Job again, Job chapter 1. It says that Job came to God. And when God said, "Hey, have you considered my servant Job?" Job said, "Yeah, well, you know, you've blessed him. You've taken care of him real well. And I can't even get at him because you put this hedge of thorns or this hedge around him. So I can't even get at him. But man, if you take that away and let me get at him a little bit, he won't worship you anymore." And God says, "Okay." Satan had to get permission from God before he could touch Job, because he's the final authority. He's in charge. He's the one that gives permission. He's the one that is in control of it. Whatever spiritual situation you're going through, whatever trial you may be going through, you may have some kind of a decision you're trying to make right now for your life. You may be dealing with a situation with a family member, maybe a church member. I don't know what it may be, but there's some kind of a spiritual battle going in your life right now. God is the final authority. You just need to stop and say, "All right, God, I don't know what's going on here. I don't know what the reason is behind this. I don't know what your master plan is in this situation, but you're the final authority, and I'm going to trust you in it. Help me to trust you." We've got to ask God to help us to trust him. We need God's help. I don't know about you, but I don't have the faith to trust him most of the time. But I found if I'll actually just stop long enough and say, "All right, God, I know that you're in charge. I know you've got a plan. Would you help me to trust you? I want to trust you. I want to believe that you're in control. Help me to trust you, God." And no matter what the outcome, no matter what the situation, whether I never see this work in a way that seems like it worked in my favor at all, help me to trust you anyway. Help me to say, "God, you are the final authority, and I'm going to trust and rely on you." God is in control of all spiritual situations, all spiritual needs, whatever it may be, he is in control. Here's the great thing about God, is that is just God doesn't push himself on us. God will never force himself on us. He may be the final authority. He can do whatever he wants, however he wants. He's got all power, but with all that power, yet he still lets us make decisions. Look at verse number 34 in that same chapter, the last verse. It says, "And behold, the whole city came out to meet him." So he just cast out these devils. There's these two guys that nobody could pass by there because they're so fierce. You'd think they'd be like, "Oh, thank you so much." No, that's not the response. "And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they besought him that he would depart out of their coast." Blows me away. I can't understand this. But Jesus graciously, will never force himself on anybody. He says, okay, if that's what you want. And he climbs back into his boat and he sails back to the other side. Why? Because we serve a God who is the final authority, but he'll never force himself on us. He wants us to come to him. The Bible says, draw nigh to him and he'll draw nigh to you. God says, I've already taken the first step by dying on the cross. It's your turn. The ball's in your court. It's up to you. But if you'll take that first step towards me, then I'll make the next step towards you. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to fight battles for you. I'm ready there to be encourage you and strengthen you. Man, I'm ready to help things to work together for good to them that love the Lord. I'm ready to do it. But you've got to draw nigh to me because I'm not going to force myself on you. I'm not going to force my will into your life. I'm not going to force my bidding. You have to come to me. You have to ask me for it. All things that are out of our control, health, loss of a job, a boss, bills, weather, spiritual things, all are under God's control and he can handle them. But he won't do anything with us without us asking him first because he's not going to force himself on us. We've got to go to him. Do you have bills to pay? God's in control. Do you have medical bills to pay? God's in control of that too. Do you have problems at work? God's in control of that. Do you have health issues? God's in control of that. Whatever it is, God's in control. He's the final authority. Whenever the need or whatever the need or problem, God is in control. We need to hand it over to him and ask him for his help and trust him. He says, cast your cares upon me, for he careth for you. God's waiting for us to cast our cares on him, to cast our burdens to him. He's there to help relieve us. He says, take my yoke upon you, because my burden is light. God says, I'm the final authority. Just come to me. Let me take control. Let me be in charge. Let me help guide you through your life. But I'm not going to do it unless you ask me to do it. Because I'm not going to force my will on you. I'm not going to force myself on you. But you've got to come to me. James 4:8 is where it says, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Are we willing to draw nigh to God and say, all right, God, you are the final authority in all things. I'm going to trust you with it. And if you're going to trust him, that means you got to trust him with your finances. It means when we look at our bills and we say, man, I don't know how I'm going to pay these bills and tithe. That means we say, all right, God, you're in charge. I don't know what your plan is, but I'm going to go ahead and tithe because you asked me to do it. But God, I need you to come through to pay these bills because I don't have enough money left over after I tithe. And if we'll trust him, God says, I got a plan. I got a purpose. There's a reason. Don't worry. Your need will be met. You just trust me. You just do what you're supposed to. That means when it comes to our relationships, God, I don't know what your reasoning is. I don't know what your purpose is, but I know you've got a plan. I'll finish with this illustration, this story. This is just God. This is how God works. So before I met my wife, we're 16 hours away. We're basically 1,000 miles. I think from doorstep to doorstep, it was like 980-something miles away. Long ways away, okay? Never met her. Went to college. You know, I always assumed probably in Bible college, I would probably meet the girl that I'd get married to, and thought I did meet the girl I was going to get married to, and was 110% sure this is the one, and then she dumped me, and that was rough. Didn't understand why. Just couldn't comprehend what God's planning was. Went through the rest of college, never really dated any other girls. You know, sat down and visited with some girls and talked with some girls and prayed about it, got some wisdom on it, but just never went anywhere with anybody. There's even a young lady at my church when I came back and was working with our teenagers. I thought, man, this could really be the one. She's just sharp, loves God, wants to serve God. She's got a great spirit, got a great heart. And even went and asked her dad's permission to start a relationship. And he just said, no, I don't think we're ready for that. And wanted to do that. And I said, okay, I respect that. I'm going to honor that. And once again, just not really sure what was God doing, you know, just what was the reasoning behind it. And was frustrated with God, even angry with God, and even fought with God a little bit about it, and finally had to give in to him because he's going to win, but let him have his way. And then I had a good friend from college, my best friend from college, and I'd come down and visit him one time down in New Mexico and just had a great time, and the next year I planned to come out again and visit with him. And a few weeks before I came out, he called me and said, Brady, I just got to ask you. He said, are you dating anybody right now? I said, no, not dating. There's one girl here that I'm praying about, but it doesn't really seem like it's going anywhere or anything's happening there. And he said, well, would you be interested in meeting a girl when you come down here? I said, yeah, sure, Josh, I'll meet a girl, whatever. That's fine, whatever you think. And he's like, well, if you don't want to, we don't have to. But if you want to, I'll introduce you. She's awesome. She just loves God. She's got a great heart. It'll be great if you want to meet her. I said, okay, sure, Josh, you know, whatever. You can introduce us, and we'll see where it goes. I'm thinking we're 1,000 miles away. It's a long ways. Long-distance relationships never work. All these things are going through my mind. I'm like, whatever. I'll let him do his thing and let him feel good about it. But it's not going to go anywhere. It's not going to happen. Well, I come down and visit, And I see her. He points her out to me. I shake her hand in the lobby and say hi to her, see her get up and sing and everything like that and stuff. And I think, oh, she's a great girl. She's awesome. But I just don't think it's going to work. I don't see how it's ever going to happen. How would this ever happen, you know? We're just so far away. Well, we get to visit. We get to talk more while we're here. We end up going on a trip with the school over there. Helped out at the pumpkin patch. Got to talk with their dad. Well, he talked. I listened for the most part. If you know my father-in-law, he'll do all the talking for you if you just let him. But I let him talk and visit with him on the way to the pumpkin patch for about 45 minutes and visiting with him and had a good time there. And I mean, he's a really cool guy. I mean, he kind of reminds me of my dad. He's just got that goofy quirkiness about him. I like it. He's kind of like my dad. So I got to visit with him on the way back. Got to talk with her some more. And then Josh and his wife kind of set us up to I guess you could say, go on a date. I don't know. She came over to watch their kids while his wife went to a chiropractor appointment, and me and Josh were just going to be there. And then Josh just kind of like took off and left us and let us hang out and talk. And so we're visiting, had a good time. She's laying down some serious questions like, where do you see yourself in 5 years? I mean, big questions, okay? I'm thinking, what is the deal with this girl? Just getting to visit, getting to talk and stuff. So finally, by the end of the week, I thought, well, you know, we'll be friends and just, we'll see what God, you know, God can work stuff out. But I don't think it's going to work out still. You know, we're just a long ways away. So I go and ask your dad's permission. Hey, can I, you know, Facebook Emily on Facebook and maybe text her a little bit. And so we start texting and talking and getting to know each other. And I'm just kind of nervous a little bit about the whole thing anyway. And just kind of gun shy, I guess. And so girls, they like to text a lot. So she's just texting me nonstop all the time. She's texting, you know, which is great and dandy. And then I'm thinking, oh, no, man, I'm getting nervous. And maybe she's one of these clingy girls that, like, you know, if I don't text her right back, she's going to get mad and frustrated, you know. And I'm just worried that she might be like that. Well, I thought, well, let's put her to the test and see how this works, because I was going to go out to the woods and work with my dad. And so I texted her and said, hey, I'm out in the woods with my dad. I'm probably not going to be able to text you for a couple hours. Going to be working, you know, so if I don't text back, that's why. She said, okay, that's fine. And so I go out and work with my dad. We're, you know, not even near my phone for a couple hours. I leave in the truck. Don't want to get smashed up while I'm out there working in the woods. I get in the truck, and she hasn't texted me once. She hasn't bothered me. She's not doing one of those, where are you at? What's going on? What's happening? Are you okay? You know, none of that kind of stuff. Hadn't texted me one time. I text her back and say, hey, we're done in the woods. Like, oh, great. How'd everything go? And just starts texting me again like crazy. Like, okay. So she's not one of those clingy, crazy, you know, if you don't text me right back, I'm going to freak out type people. I was like, all right, that's good. And so just Lord is praying about it, and God just gave me peace about it and said, hey, let's go for it. So I called her dad, asked permission to start a relationship with her, drove back down here overnight with my parents because I want them to meet her. I appreciate my parents' opinion. Drove out overnight to surprise her for her birthday, and I think she was surprised. She was really scared something was wrong because I was telling her, just go hang out with your family while I was driving, because I was driving, I couldn't text. So I said, hey, just go hang out with your family. You know, it's almost your birthday. Just go hang out with them. So she's worried something was wrong. But now I come down here, surprise her. Ask her to be my girlfriend, ask her to go out, start dating, start talking and stuff like that. And God just works out and leads it, and next thing you know, we're married, and now we got two kids and trying to go in the ministry together and stuff like that. What is that? God, the final authority. Two people, almost 1,000 miles away, didn't meet except for some goofy friend. He's tried to matchmake other people since then. He's just real proud of us getting together. So he's tried to matchmake other people, has failed miserably. So he thought he was real proud of himself, but what was that? That was God. He was the final authority. And as what I should have been doing as a single guy, I should have just been trusting God. God, why did these other girls not work out? God says, because I got somebody else for you. I got exactly who you need. Now, we never fight and we never argue ever. Not really, we do. Mostly it's my fault because I'm pretty hard-headed. But she is exactly what I needed. She is more patient than I am. She's just got a sweet, calmer spirit than I do. I can get more fired up, and she's a little more laid back and relaxed. I mean, she just compliments me in every area that I needed to be complimented in. And I, a long time ago, my youth pastor had encouraged me this. He said, Brady, you need to make a list of what you would like to see in your wife. I said, don't be ridiculous, you know, blonde hair, blue, you know, but just like character traits, things you would like for your wife to have or possess, character traits, and then start praying for that now. And asking God, and I wasn't consistently praying for that, but I had kind of made a mental list of some things that I would like for my wife to be able to do. And Emily can do every single one of those except one. She matches every single one of those perfectly. And the one that she doesn't match, she has tried to work on and tried to improve in. And I won't tell you what that one is, okay? But she has tried to work in that one area to improve in that one area. But she was exactly everything I'd ever wanted in a wife. What is that? God, the final authority. Just let God be in control. Just let God, he's got a purpose, he's got a plan. Young people, rely on God. Just trust God. I know we've got a lot of teenagers here. I think most of them are gone. But those of you that are younger, will become teenagers, When you start to worry about a wife, you start worrying about a husband, you start worrying about what am I going to do in life, God's got a plan. Just trust Him. It might not be somebody here in this church. It may not be somebody in Albuquerque. It may be somebody 1,000 miles away. But God's got a plan. And He'll work it out if you'll just trust Him. God is the final authority. And what He says goes, and there's no changing it. Satan himself can't do anything about it unless God gives him permission. God is the final authority. Nothing happens without His okay. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Heavenly Father, thank You so much that You are the final authority, that You are the one that we can trust in and rely on, knowing that You are in control no matter what it is, whether it's physical things or it's things like the weather and stuff that we have no control over, spiritual things, whatever it is, You are the final authority. God, help us to go to You for Your wisdom, for Your help, for Your control. God, and to trust You for it. Because You've said, hey, draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. You're not going to force Yourself on us. You're not going to twist our arm until we say, Uncle, you want us to say, God, would You help me? And You'll do it.